Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges, and today is a very significant day in the history of rock and roll. 58 years ago is the day the music died in a cornfield in Clear Lake, Iowa. Today we're going to remember the Big Bopper, Ritchie Valens, and of course the late great Buddy Holly. I've got a special guest joining me from Tennessee who actually has a big connection to Buddy Holly and will be playing lots of songs written by those artists, especially Buddy, and some great tribute covers. All of that and more as we remember the day the music died on A Look at the Arts, coming up next.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin. Three young singers who soared to the heights of show business on the current rock and roll craze were killed today in the crash of a light plane in an Iowa snow flurry. The singers were identified as Ritchie Valens, 17, Buddy Holly, 22, and J.P. Richardson, known professionally as the Big Bopper. The aircraft chartered from the Dwyer Flying Service crashed near Mason City, ironically the setting for the prominent musical The Music Man. The pilot, Roger Peterson of Clear Lake, Iowa, was also killed. The three singers had appeared at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa last night and were on their way to Fargo, North Dakota. Their small chartered plane crashed in a lonely farmyard about 15 miles northwest of Mason City. Cause of the crash was due to inclement weather conditions. Details upcoming from Action Central News.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love, and do you have shoes? Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Day that I die, this'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned. No verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced that I'd die. Help the skelter in the summer swelter. The birds flew off with a fallout shelter. 8 miles high and falling fast. It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume while the sergeants played a marching tune. We all got up to dance, oh, but we never got the chance. As the players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed today? Clenched in fists of rage, no angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing. I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died, and they were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
This will be the day that I die, the day the music died. Don McLean, taking it back several years. In fact, that song is why we call this the day the music died. Of course, 58 years ago, just outside of Clear Lake, Iowa, a plane went down in Moorhead, Minnesota, taking the lives of three promising young artists: JP, the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, and, of course, Buddy Holly, along with pilot Roger Peterson. Can't forget him. Tragedy that changed the face of what might have happened in rock and roll. And we've got a gentleman joining us right now from the region who has made his life a tribute to one of these great pioneers, Buddy Holly. I'm talking about Kenny James. Kenny, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Tom?
Hi, Kenny. Now, for those that are not familiar with Kenny, he was born and raised in Hammond, Indiana, and has for the last, what, two decades now been in Tennessee performing?
Well, yeah. Well, I'm actually in Bardstown, Kentucky now.
Oh, you've moved.
Yeah, well, you know, I was down in Pigeon Forge for 12 years, but I do a lot of traveling, and we just make our home here in Bardstown now.
Okay, now you're still doing the Buddy Holly tribute.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how a kid from Hammond, Indiana, got so influenced and impacted by this guy who died before we were really born.
Well, you know, it's just like anybody else that you talk to, how did you get started playing music? And a lot of them, I got started playing because my dad played. And his musical influences were Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash and Elvis and everything. And I just picked up on that. I just remember being in high school and everybody talking about Eddie Van Halen, and I always talked about Eddie Cochran. it just kind of picked up from there. And I've always been a big Buddy Holly fan, and while I was living up there in Hammond, I was playing guitar for a few different Elvis tribute artists. And one night we were playing in, I think, right outside of Chicago. And we always do the 50s different songs. And I'd sing Buddy Holly and Eddie Cochran and Ricky Nelson. And one of the guys that I was working with, or one of the Elvis guys, had a manager. I can't remember which guy it was, and he came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, next month you guys are playing for us. Why don't you come out dressed as Buddy Holly and do that?" And I was like, "Man, I don't really want to do that. I like what I'm doing, and I don't want to be known as one of those impersonators." And he said, "Well, okay." And then he paid us our money, which equivalent was about $50 a piece for a 5-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
And Elvis that night made about $1,000. So I went out the next day and got glasses. I'm just a big fan, always have been, of his music. And I got the opportunity to do it, all kidding aside. I got the opportunity to do it, and I thought, man, what a better way. Because there were so many Elvis impersonators or tribute artists out there. At the time, there wasn't a lot of others paying tribute to other artists, and as big as Elvis was and how much he meant to rock and roll, I mean, Buddy Holly, really, if you listen to his story, or you see that he really started that whole craze of the bands that came from England. They all imitated him, putting a 4-piece band together behind 2 bass, guitar, and drum, and that's been a mainstay.
It's funny that you mention England, because two of the biggest bands out of the British Invasion took their names because of Buddy Holly. Of course, the Beatles took it in tribute to the Crickets. They said, well, there's already Crickets, so we may as well be Beatles. And, of course, spelled it with an A, so to keep the drum beat in there. But the Beatles took their name in tribute to the Crickets. And, of course, the Hollies themselves all were fans of Buddy, so they pluralized it and became the Hollies. So there's a little trivia there. And it's interesting, and I'm sure you know the story of the misspelling on the record label for Decca Records.
That's right, yeah.
Buddy's real name has an E in it, correct?
Correct. And if you ever make it to Lubbock, and if you've been to the go out to the cemetery there, it's spelled correctly on his tombstone. But he left it that way because it just fit. It was easier for him to get recognized, I guess, as they said it. People wouldn't get confused with the spelling. And he just kept it that way, and it used to be on his record label, it just was the Crickets. Then it became Buddy Holly and the Crickets, and then later it was just Buddy Holly without the Crickets.
So, mm-hmm. And all the record labels have Holly, but it's actually spelled EY. And his real name was Charles Hardin Holly, and Buddy, I guess, was a nickname he did when he started doing a duo with Bob Montgomery back in the early 50s.
Right, Buddy and Bob. It's funny. I was just talking about this last night with a lady named Vicky Pickering. Her husband, John, had a group called The Picks, and they're the ones that actually do all the background vocals on the Buddy Holly stuff. The Crickets didn't sing on there. They worked out at Norman Petty Studio in Clovis, And, yeah, we talked about Buddy and Bob and everything last night. It was really, really cool.
You mentioned Elvis earlier, and it's interesting because, you know, so many people say Elvis kickstarted rock and roll, and that's even true in Buddy Holly's case. From as I've been told, back in 55, Buddy was booked to open for Elvis, who was still pretty much unknown, and he had such a good time opening for Elvis that he wound up reopening for him like three or four times that year and decided this isn't a bad way to make a living, and that kind of kickstarted his passion for wanting to be a musician.
Yeah, and he was a different kind of musician. He liked to play out on the road, but his thing was being in the studio. Mm-hmm. And when he moved to New York, he was doing his own producing, which was unheard of at the time. Then everybody started going to New York to have stuff produced by Buddy Holly, the Everly Brothers and Eddie Cochran, and of course Dion and Belmonts. Everybody just went. It was kind of like what Seattle was to grunge. When grunge started, everybody went to Seattle.
Buddy was one of the first to actually write his own songs, too. Everybody was still doing stuff out of the Brill Building and hired songwriters. Buddy wrote probably about 65% of his own tunes that were hits.
Yeah, that's true. The only one really to, first one to write and record with his own band on his record. You know, back then it was like, you know, they get an artist come in and they got a band that would just play. In fact, Buddy was one of those guys that would play in the studio. He played on Eddie Cochran stuff and Gene Vincent stuff.
He was a session player. I didn't know that. He did sessions for
just
others.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit, which, on his projects, of course. And Waylon Jennings, that's why Waylon played bass for him. He was up there. They were friends back in Texas. Mm-hmm. And he was up there. Buddy was producing his first album, and he played on that as well.
I have a Waylon Jennings story that I'm going to share in just a moment. But today we are saluting Buddy Holly and, of course, all of those that perished in the Day the Music Died, Ritchie Valens, Big Bopper, and also remembering Roger Peterson. On the phone with us, Kenny James. And, Kenny, can you hang for a few minutes with us?
Sure.
Okay, let's do some Buddy right now. This is a favorite of mine, and I know that your brother's band actually took their name from this song. You want to go ahead and introduce it?
I named the band from this song. One of the Buddy Holly always closed the show with this one. It's called Rave On.
All right. Rave On, Buddy Holly and the Crickets. Today is the day the music died 58 years ago in a cornfield just outside of Clear Lake, Iowa. Surf Ballroom was the last show, and Kenny James, who is a professional Buddy Holly tribute artist, is with us, calling in from Kentucky, and he's originally from Hammond, Indiana. And Kenny, you and I have done a couple of different shows over the years, and I know that you at some point, we both have worked with Big Bopper's son, who is now passed.
Yeah, and JP was, man, just such a great guy. And unfortunately, we lost him 2 years ago now. It'll be 3 years in August. And, yeah, we were doing some shows together, and he used to share some really cool stories that he had learned about his dad. Of course, he didn't mm-hmm. know his dad.
Wasn't he born like a month or two after the accident?
Yeah, he was born in April of 59, where the crash happened in February. And he didn't know, he knew his dad was a DJ, but he didn't know his dad was the Big Bopper until his late teens. And his grandparents opened up a case and showed him what he was all about.
And he looked just like his dad.
Eerily enough, it was very, yeah.
And that leopard smoking jacket he would wear on stage, I mean, I think that actually was his dad's, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, and he always carried a pair of dice in the pocket because Bopper was known for playing dice and gambling backstage or on the bus or whatever. Wow. And he had a pair of dice of his dad's. And then when they exhumed his body to move it to a new location in the cemetery for a monument, there are all these rumors that was happening or going on since the plane crash. That he had hired, Bopper Jr. had hired Bill Blass from University of Tennessee, a forensic pathologist, to do an autopsy to prove that, because he was found quite a distance from the wreckage, and they said, well, he was trying to walk to get help, and you know, they said there all kinds of different things, and you know, it didn't happen.
Right. I remember seeing photos online of the exhumation.
Yeah, he said it was the first time he laid eyes on his dad. Wow. Of course, you cannot see the photos. They went into a private area where no photos were taken when they opened it. And he said he looked pristine. And even Bill Blass said they did such a great embalming job in the 50s that he was perfect. He said his hair was still nice. Looked like he was ready to go on stage.
Wow.
And he said he took out of his pocket a pair of dice, left him with his dad, and took the dice out of his dad's pocket and carried them up until he had passed.
Wow. I remember that he was always, the one thing about J.P. Jr. is that he was always disgruntled that Buddy Holly got his movie and Ritchie Valens got La Bamba, but there was never a movie made about his dad, and that was one of the things that was on his bucket list to try to accomplish, and sadly he never reached that point.
Yeah, and they were in talks with the production company owned by Kelsey Grammer at one time, and then I don't know what ever happened with it because, you know, Bopper's illness, and hopefully it comes. We need it. He was, out of the three of them, he was the most innovative.
Right.
Invented what's called MTV today. He invented the little jukeboxes that go on the tables instead of the big ones.
Bopper did that?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and in TV screens. He was going to put little TV screens in them to show videos of the artist. And I know the family, Bopper Jr.'s wife and kids, have video that Bopper Sr. had shot and was making videos. Well, wow. Guys standing there singing, and they were going to play him on TV.
Wow.
I mean, it comes to pass, what, in the 80s that MTV comes around. Well, I don't know if somebody stole his idea or just what. But and VCRs, he had a schematic that Bopper had shown me, a thing he drew, and he was going to, where people can make tapes and put them in a thing and play them on television.
Wow. I didn't know he was that kind of foresight. I knew he was a pretty creative guy. I mean, he was actually one of the first radio DJs to record his own records and do a comedy shtick that so many jocks in the 60s emulated. But he was like one of the first there to do that.
Yeah, and he was working as a booking agent out of Texas and was got Elvis booked in Texas at one time.
Wow. Well, let's play a song from Big Bopper, probably the one he's best known for, which, of course, is Chantilly Lace. We'll be back with Kenny James, another DJ, on the other side.
Hello, baby.
Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking.
Oh, you sweet thing.
Do I want... Will I what? Oh, baby, you know what I like.
Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down, wiggling a walk and a giggling a talk. Make the world go round. Ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose like a long-necked goose, like a girl out.
baby, that's what I like.
What's that, baby? But, oh, honey. But, oh, baby, you know what I like.
Chantilly lace had a pretty face, had a ponytail hanging down, a wiggle in the walk and a giggle in the talk. Lord, make the world go round, round, round. There ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl. It make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose, like a long-necked goose or like a girl.
Oh, baby, that's the one I like. What's that, honey? Pick you up at 8, and don't be late. But, baby, I ain't got no money, honey. Oh, all right, honey, you know what I like.
Chantilly lace had a pretty face, ponytail hanging down, a wiggle in a walk and a giggle in a talk. Low, make the world go round. Ain't nothing in the world like a big-eyed girl to make me act so funny, make me spend my money, make me feel real loose, like a long-necked goose and like a girl.
Oh, baby, that's what I like.
Oh, baby, that's what I like. A big bopper. Gotta love that song. Everybody loves that song. And, of course, he had so many others. He's got full albums out there. And but that was the one that kind of put him on the radar. And with us on the radio, we've got Kenny James calling in from Kentucky, Hammond born and raised, a Buddy Holly tribute artist and an all-around nice guy and musician. And, Kenny, you, I understand, and I hope I'm not talking out of turn, but you are now doing your own radio show. Is that correct?
I do, right here in Bardstown, Kentucky. I do a Tuesday and Thursday afternoon show called Afternoon Classics, and it's classic country, you know, great stuff from all the way from 40s and 50s on up. And Thursday nights I do an oldie show called Oldies Express, and last night was our tribute to Buddy Richie and the Big Bopper.
Wow. Now, do you actually perform on air like the old-time jocks did, like B.B. King and J.P. and all those guys did with the guitar?
You know, every once in a while... somebody will come in and we'll bring a guitar in, and like I'll have somebody as a guest in studio, and we'll play a little bit. But mostly it's about the other artist than me. <You know>?
Speaking of other artists, as we're talking today, 58 years ago, the plane went down outside of the Surf Ballroom there in Clear Lake, Iowa, and we almost lost other artists. I mean, this could have been a bigger tragedy than it was. We survivors, of course, of that day were Dion DiMucci, who was just starting out with the Belmonts, Waylon Jennings, as we mentioned, and Tommy Alsup, who became an incredible session player and mainstay in Nashville, who just passed.
Yeah, unfortunately, we just lost him a couple weeks ago.
Now, I mentioned that, Waylon and Tommy were really... they were behind the eight ball there for a while, and they lucked out because both of them were scheduled to be on the plane, as I recall. Tommy, one of the guys was sick, and I think was it Bopper or Valens gave
Richie Valens was sick with a cold, and Waylon really didn't care, and Bopper wanted to fly because he was tired of the cold, and Waylon says, "Well, just give me your sleeping bag and $15."
Right.
And that was that. And of course, then Richie did the coin toss with Tommy Alston.
And fate was sealed. I remember in 88, I was working in Lansing, Superfest, for a company that managed different festivals. And Waylon Jennings and Jesse Coulter were one of our artists. Waylon had just gotten back from having his heart surgeries. And I remember spending some time on a tour bus with Waylon. And I asked him about the whole Buddy thing. And he was still broken up about it. I mean, it was really a sore subject. We kind of skated over it after that. I realized that it wasn't something he wanted to talk about, but he was happy to kind of correct history a little bit and talk about the fact that he carried that guilt the rest of his life, that
well,
he should have been on there.
Imagine you're with your best friend in the world, close like a brother, and you're kidding with each other. Before he gets on a plane, and Buddy Holly says to him, "Don't freeze on the bus." He says, "I hope your old plane crashes."
Right.
Imagine what that would do to your psyche, you know. But he, up until the time he passed away, he just never got over it because they were that close.
I have some tape somewhere in a closet, one of my many interviews going back to the 80s with Waylon, and we touch a little on that. And if I can ever find it, that would be just a beautiful thing to share, because you can see the emotion, or hear the emotion, rather, in his voice. But, yeah, he carried that with him, and, of course, he went on to great fame and stardom as one of the outlaw country guys with Willie and Hank Jr. And Tommy Alsop, as we mentioned, played on a lot of sessions, and he just passed away. And did you get a chance to work with Tommy? I want to say you did.
I've met him, but okay. I had not got to work with him. He used to go to the festival every year in Clear Lake, that the annual festival, and the last couple of years he had been ill and hadn't, but I happened to be in Branson. In fact, I was staying in a condo in Branson while we were out there, and come to find out he was in the same complex.
Wow.
Where we were at. So, yeah. A good friend of mine, Ray Anthony, who plays Richie Valens and does an incredible job, was friends with him, and that's how I met him.
Wow. Now, you've played the Surf Ballroom, haven't you?
I've been there. Okay. Yeah, I have not played it. There was a couple times where I was supposed to, and it just timing-wise, I was booked elsewhere. And, I'm not the type that's just going to quit a booking to take a better booking. You know, Once I take it, I take it. So, hopefully we'll get there someday.
Now, you had done some shows with a Richie Valens tribute, correct?
Yes, that's Ray Anthony.
You were just talking about him, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, tell us a little about him.
He's incredible. He looks like out of the movie Lou Diamond Phillips. That's his look, best I can describe him. But amazing voice, great talent. Richie Valens was an incredible guitar player, and Ray pulls that off just as well. And he's endorsed by the Valens family, Valenzuela family. And he does their festival every year. They have a festival for Richie Valens. And he's always there with his brother Bob and his sisters and nieces. And a couple of them have been to our shows, and they're really nice people.
Now, Richie was only 17 when the crash happened. I mean, he was just starting. He had a handful of songs, La Bamba Donna, Come On, Let's Go. I mean, he recorded a lot, but he was just starting to break. His star was just starting to rise. And if I'm not mistaken, he was the first Latino artist to ever top the Billboard charts. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, he really set the bar high and broke through some barriers himself.
Yeah, incredible pioneer for the Latino community, I think.
Speaking of the great guitar, let's play a song from him that is one of my favorites, and I think it represents the guitar side of him as well as the vocals and the dance sound, and that's Come On, Let's Go. And when we get back, we're going to talk about what might have been, and we're going to speculate a little bit with Kenny James. This is Richie Valens. Come on, let's go.
Well, now swing me all the way down there. I'm
What a great song. Come on, let's go. Richie Valens, just starting out his career 58 years ago when the plane went down just outside of Clear Lake, Iowa, the day the music died. That's what today's show is all about on A Look at the Arts. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Thank you for supporting NPR and public radio. You're tuned in to 89.1 FM Lakeshore here in Northwest Indiana. And on the phone, Northwest Indiana native son, Kenny James, who for years has been doing a professional Buddy Holly tribute. Kenny, we're talking about the fact that you've broadened your career into radio now and you're doing other things. And Buddy Holly, of course, was, as we talked, doing so many things, writing, recording, doing session work a little bit. What do you think Buddy Holly would be doing today if he had not perished in that plane crash?
You know, I get asked that question so much, and it's hard to say because music was changing. Rock and roll music was changing at that time. You know, 59, 60, it started changing around, and it could have been because those three were gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, but I, you know, he was so much into studio, doing studio work. I, you know, if he didn't transform into country music like a lot of them did, I think he would have been like another Phil Spector.
I would agree with that. In fact, I had Peter Asher of Peter and Gordon on the show last week, and I got to spend some time with him at a couple of shows. And Peter, of course, produced a great Buddy Holly tribute called "The Day the Mute," not "The Day the Music Died," Buddy Holly Rave On. And we were talking a little bit about that, and he said the one thing he knows for sure is that Buddy Holly would never have wound up in a jumpsuit in Vegas. He said he had just too much going on.
That's true. That's true. You know, look at, you know, Waylon Jennings transformed into country music because that was the thing to do. You know, although Johnny Cash was considered a rockabilly artist, he was country later on, and along with Carl Perkins and a lot of them. I think that, you know, definitely I think Bopper would have been more of a country artist had he had lived.
Mm-hmm. And Richie, I mean, just the world was his oyster at that time. He could have gone anywhere and broken down so many racial barriers just because of who he was and the amount of talent he had. I think of all of them, he's the one that might have done the most, really, as far as impacting.
Buddy, yeah, I think because he was so young and he was from California, he would have got, I think he would have went towards more of that surf sound, that guitar, because he was so much into his guitar and that sound. That may have been his forte.
His guitar reminds me a little bit of Duane Eddy. That kind
of,
you know, a little bit of that Duane Eddy kind of sound, that twangy thing that they did back then. I don't know if it was a Gretsch or what they were playing, but it had that tinny, twangy, beachy kind of sound. And I think that Richie basically helped introduce that with songs like "Come On, Let's Go."
Yeah. Exactly. I know he used a Silvertone at one time. Now, I don't know if that was his main guitar later. I think in the Buddy Holly story, they show him playing a Stratocaster. I don't ever remember him doing that, but he could have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, Dion, of course, was a last-minute add-on at the Surf Ballroom. He was going to be touring. I guess he did a couple of dates before and was supposed to go on the rest of the tour, but why wasn't he part of the entourage as far as traveling? Do you know that story? I never knew that.
You know, I hear different versions, so I'm not really sure. I know they brought in different people for different segments of the tour. In fact, Buddy Holly came onto the tour after it had already started.
Okay.
So, like, they had Frankie Sardo had come on, and then Bobby V. And then after the plane crash, Bobby V took over as the main artist singing in Buddy Holly's place with the band. The band, they had to stay on tour.
That's, you know, amazing that they didn't cancel that. I mean, what were they thinking?
Well, I don't know.
You know? I mean, if somebody dies, you usually say, okay, well, the tour's done, you know, act of God kind of thing. But, they just picked up the pieces and kept on going and keeping the money machine going. And, you know, I don't know if that was because of all the mob connections back in the day to the radio and record business, but it just seemed kind of heartless.
Yeah, who knows what was on their minds. I know that's why Buddy Holly really went on tours, because his money was being held up by Norman Petty, who was acting as his manager. So when he went out and played on the road, that was his money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons. And then they pressured him to do that to support his recordings, but he really didn't want to.
Wow. There's another aspect of Buddy Holly that kind of blows my mind, and that is the fact that he did so much, wrote, produced, had so many hits in a two-year period. I mean, really, even though he had been performing earlier, he didn't really release the first record until 57, and then the beginning of 59, he's gone. So yeah, what is that?
18 months. Yeah, he was recording, and the lives that he touched and songs that he'd written and produced for, like the Everly Brothers, great friends of his. In fact, one of his songs he actually wrote for the Everly Brothers, and that's where he come across doing the overdubbing and putting his vocals on there twice, doing his own harmony to show them what he wanted them to do. And they said, "Well, that's too good. You should put it out yourself."
Which song was that?
Words of Love.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Well, we've got a version of Words of Love that Peter Asher produced on this Buddy Holly tribute, and it's track 11, and we're going to play that. And I don't know if you've ever heard this. You're familiar with Jeff Lynne, of course, from ELO.
Oh, yes.
This has, and he's, again, a great producer, probably influenced by Buddy Holly. We're going to play this version, and we're going to talk with Kenny James one more time on the other side. Stay with us as A Look at the Arts continues. Jeff Lynne from ELO fame covering some great Buddy Holly music there, and that's off the Ravon Listen to Me, Buddy Holly, produced by our good friend of the show, Peter Asher of Peter and Gordon, who also went on to have hits with, so many people have had hits with Buddy Holly songs. The Stones started out with Not Fade Away, and Peter and Gordon, and the Beatles did stuff. It's amazing how many careers he helped launch just with his music.
Exactly, and there's a lot of country artists that still record his music today.
What is your favorite Buddy Holly song? I mean, when you're up there performing, what's that aha moment that you look forward to each night?
You know, I like the faster, personally, if I'm performing on stage, I like Rock Around with Ollie V. You know, I even do Shake, Rattle, and Roll, like his version. I just like the up-tempo stuff, but there's two ballads that he did that are great, are Raining in My Heart, and of course, True Love Ways, and I love both of those as well. So, mm-hmm. I guess it changes from show to show,
okay,
or maybe tour to tour. What's my favorite songs, or what? I can't wait to get to that song. You know,
wow. You doing any shows up this way anytime soon? Are you planning to come back? I know it's been a long time since I've seen you.
I'd love to come back. I haven't played up in Northwest Indiana in a few years, and let's make it happen.
Okay, we've got some great fests coming up this year, and you and I had done a show together at the old Romano's when that was still on Sherrillville. We did a great show there. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember. I think we did two nights there, didn't we?
I think we did, and we also did one at Obie's. Remember Obie's Catering on Ridge Road in Highland there?
Yeah, it was called the Little Dinner Theater.
The Little Dinner Theater. That was, I think, the first show I ever did with you. And sadly, both of those venues are gone. Maybe we're cursed. Maybe we shouldn't do anymore.
Maybe that's what they won't have me back.
But
and I used to do, every year we'd go back to Morton High School, my alma mater, mm-hmm. and do a show to benefit the theater and music departments. They raise money for them. And we were actually just talking about starting that up again.
Okay.
So that may be a possibility, too.
Wow. Now, when you do come up here, your brother has a band, as we mentioned, called Ravon, taken from the Buddy Holly song, and they're your backing group here. What do you do when you're on the road touring, or when you were in Pigeon Forge, or wherever you're performing now? Do you have a formal band?
Well, in Pigeon Forge, at Memories Theater, which is sadly has changed over now, it's they're doing something different. But we had a house band there, so it was the same band, and that show was a breeze. I just do 4 songs a night, 6 nights a week, and just change them up a little bit here and there. A lot of the shows I do, like when I was working with Bopper, we'd go and they have a band set, and we just show up.
Hmm. Now, how long can you do Buddy Holly? I mean, Buddy died so young, and you've been doing this a long time. I don't want to say you're old, but you've been doing it a long time. You're older than Buddy. And how long
I've been doing Buddy longer than Buddy did.
Wow.
I was always going to be tasteful. I mean, if I get too old to do it, I'm not going to, walk up with a walker.
Right.
And try to do it. You know, as long as my health lets me, I'll do it. If not, then I'll let somebody else do it.
And your knees, I remember at the Little Dinner Theater, you came out sliding on your knees up to the front of the front of the stage with the microphone.
I still do that to this day, depending on the stage.
Wow.
Some stages don't, they're carpeted, so you can't do that. Yeah.
I remember the music playing, and all of a sudden you came running out, and you dropped to your knees and just slid right on up. It was so cool. It was so rock and roll.
That's so Buddy.
Wow.
And there's not, most people see the clips of Buddy Holly, and he's just standing there.
Right.
And that's like the Ed Sullivan Show. Well, that's when all the controversy was going on as far as, Elvis Presley moving too much and shooting him from the waist up. So when they had him on there, they told him, don't move. And if you ever see the clip, he's singing, Oh Boy. Ed Sullivan told him, you scream that song, please don't scream. And he did it anyway. If you listen to it, he's screaming the song. And he sticks his leg out and moves it a little bit just as a mockery. But he moved a lot. They called themselves the Crickets because they learned in biology that the crickets would rub their legs together as a mating call.
Wow.
So they would get up on stage and jump around and wiggle their legs just almost as much as Elvis would. And Buddy would slide on the stage and do his back bend and sing into the saxophone microphone and all kinds of stuff. There's the video that Paul McCartney put out, who owns the Buddy Holly material. It's called The Real Buddy Holly Story. And if you're going to get into the real facts, that's the great video to watch.
Wow. Now, is there any way we can keep up with you until we bring you up this way? Is there a website or Facebook or anything that fans
can
follow?
Yeah, you can always find me on Facebook.
Kenny James?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it. And you can find me on there, and we always post our shows, and always on WBRT. You can check us out at WBRTCountry.com, and we're always we list it on there as well.
WBRTCountry.com. I'm going to check that out. What days are you on?
Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 1 to 3, and then Thursday evening from 8 to 10.
Streaming live.
Live.
All right. Wonderful. Well, Kenny, thank you for joining us today here on Look at the Arts. I appreciate you coming on and sharing some memories with us and talking about your career, and I look forward to bringing you back up this way.
It was great just to be able to talk to you again. It's been so long.
It has. Let's leave now with the song you were just talking about. Oh, boy, you want to introduce it for us?
The coolest song that he threw in the face of Ed Sullivan. Oh, boy.
All right. Kenny James, our friend here from Northwest Indiana, hanging out in Kentucky. This is The Day the Music Died, and here's somebody.
All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
When you're with me, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
The whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life, I've been waiting. Tonight there'll be no hesitating. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
When you're with me,
oh boy,
oh boy,
the whole world can say that you were meant for me. Stars appear and the shadows are falling, and you can hear my heart calling. A little bit of loving makes everything right. I'm gonna see my baby tonight. All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing. Oh boy,
oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy,
oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. You're with me, oh boy,
oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life I've been waiting, tonight there'll be no hesitating, oh boy,
oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy,
oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. Stars appear and the shadows are falling, you can hear my heart calling. A little bit of loving makes everything right. I'm gonna see my baby tonight. All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing. Oh boy,
oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy,
oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me.
Buddy Holly, oh boy, that's going out to our good friend Kenny James, who you just heard on the radio from Hammond, Indiana, and hopefully coming up again soon to do his Buddy Holly tribute. It was 58 years ago today that the Surf Ballroom concert had ended and the plane had crashed in Clear Lake, Iowa. It was the day the music died. And today's show is dedicated to Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, the Big Bopper, and Roger Peterson, who was the pilot that so many people tend to forget about, but he perished that day as well. And the day music changed. Who knows what would have happened had those three lived. And, of course, we were salvaged by Tommy Alsop surviving and Waylon Jennings surviving and Dion and just so many others. It was a tragic day, but it's a day that that we celebrate each year with the music, because the music still lives. And it will never truly fade away. And with that, here's Buddy a final time. Thanks for listening.
I'm gonna tell you how it's gonna be. Are you gonna give your love to me? You know my love will not fade away. Oh, well, you know my love will not fade away. My love is bigger than a Cadillac. I try to show it and you're driving me back. Your love for me got to be real for you to know just how I feel. A love for real not fade away.